I'm not doing an expository message. I'm doing more of a topical message, which means jumping around various passages. So I've done a handout because it'll help you to not worry about always finding the passages that I'm referring to, and being able to go back and remember the passages I've been to. But as you can see, my theme this morning is doxologies of the New Testament. We will be reading scripture, but you'll find most of the passages there, but you can also be opening your Bible along the way as well. Let's pray before we go any further. Father God, thank you again for this opportunity to be together as your people and to come under the ministry of your word as we look to you, our God, our Savior, and your Spirit as our teacher, the one who has changed our hearts, who has opened our eyes. And we continue to pray, Lord, open our eyes to the truth you have revealed in your word, that we may live according to your word more and more. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So glory to God in the highest is what we find in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. And these are the words of the angels, the words that the angels sang when the birth of the Savior was announced to the shepherds in Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest. And in the Bible, there are many occasions and many reasons for giving God glory. And it is this idea in the New Testament that I want to focus on and share with you today. Last week, Dr. Brian preached on 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17, which would be called a benediction. I feel like I'm echoing here. It's called a benediction or a blessing. Dr. Brian also pointed us to the first question of the Heidelberg Catechism. I don't know who remembers it, but it's, what is our only comfort in life and death? The first question of the Heidelberg Catechism. And the answer is basically, what is our only hope? That we belong to Jesus Christ. Today I thought I'd look at what is actually the first question of the Westminster Confession, or the Westminster Catechism, which is, what is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. In other words, doxology. So benediction and doxology. Of course, right here in front of us today, we see that the chief of the five solas is Soli Deo Gloria, which means to the glory of God alone, or to God alone the glory. Now, I brought along a few one-rand coins this morning. And perhaps you've never noticed it, but surprisingly, can we pass these back a few? People can have a look. Surprisingly, we'll see if there's any thieves among us. Surprisingly, embossed on our one-rand coins in South Africa are the words Soli Deo Gloria. I don't know how many times you've used a one-rand coin. Maybe your eyes are not good enough to see it, but it's on our one-rand coins. How it got there? Who was responsible for putting Soli Deo Gloria on our one-rand coins? I don't know. In fact, how it even remains there amazes me. But it speaks hope for South Africa while it remains. Well, enjoy that and maybe tell your friends about that. Next time you're in the shop and you get a 1 rand coin, use it as an opportunity to witness. Actually, there are 15 doxologies in the New Testament. 8 are in the epistles of Paul. 1 is in Hebrews, 2 are in 1 Peter, 1 in Jude, and 3 are in the book of Revelation. I haven't listed them all together there, but you'll find most of them there on that handout. The best known and the most sung in the church is Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Jude 24 to 25. And every doxology, in fact, has 4 or 5 aspects to it. Firstly, the object of praise. Who is being praised? Secondly, the reasons for praise. Why praise is due. And thirdly, the elements of praise. In other words, what is the object of praise worthy to receive? Then there's the indication of time. For how long should this person be praised? And finally, the confirmatory response. In other words, the worshippers confirm and agree to what they hear. That's the amen, basically. So we're going to look at all these aspects of a complete doxology, but our main focus will be on the reasons for giving glory to God, the reasons for praise. So firstly, the object of praise. Don't turn there, but back in Isaiah 42, verse 8, the Lord says, I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other. In the New Testament, the object of praise is always God the Father and or Jesus Christ, the Lamb. Let me just read a few of them. For example, our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Galatians 1:5. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 7:12. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Hebrews 13:21. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 4:11. And to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Revelation 5:13. So God the Father and Jesus Christ are always the only right and worthy object of our praise and worship. Secondly, the reasons for praise. More often than not, the divine persons are identified by name or title and by certain attributes or works, which are the reasons for praise. Now that you know, you theological students, the attributes of God are the qualities of his person and character. And it's who he is. So firstly, we give glory to God because he is the infinitely wonderful King of the universe. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And then 1 Timothy 1:17. Listen to this. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And again in Timothy, the end of Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, from verse 15. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. All of these are saying there's only one God. There's only one King. There's nothing and no one like God. He is the unique person of the universe. He is the God of infinite worth. He is above all in wisdom and power and splendor. He alone is worthy of all the praise that the universe could possibly give, just because of who he is, the infinitely wonderful King and Creator of the universe. Secondly, God is worthy to receive glory because of what he has done to save us through Jesus Christ. Back in Romans 11, verse 36, the reason to praise God is that from him and through him and to him are all things. And that really sums up the uniqueness of God as the sovereign source, ruler, and purpose of all things. Sovereign source, ruler, and purpose of all things. That is what it means to be the only God of the universe. However, in the context of Romans 11, all things means the whole mystery of how God, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, is working out in his time and in his way his gracious plan of salvation for Israel and for the nations. Everything is from him and through him and to him, because from the beginning of creation and history to the end of time and eternity, everything unfolds according to his perfect plan and purpose for his glory and our good. God is worthy of praise, not only because of who he is, but also because of what he is doing for us, for his people. We praise him as the unworthy objects of his amazing grace. In 1 Peter 5:11, he is the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. In Ephesians 1:12, we are saved in Christ that we might be to the praise of his glory. That's our purpose. Our redeemed purpose is to be to the praise of his glory. In Romans 16, 25 to 27, the reason to praise God is similar. This whole idea of he is the only wise God who has revealed the mystery of salvation in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let me go to Galatians 1, 5, or from verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. You see the salvation? According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Doxology. As the hymn says, to God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. You'll find, I think, next on that handout, Revelation 1, from verse 5, or from verse 4. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Notice that Jesus Christ is praised as Him who loves us, present, has freed us from our sins by His blood, past, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve His God and Father, present and continuous, future. In Jesus, we are loved, we are saved, and we are freed to serve the eternal God of infinite worth. Therefore, we have an identity and a purpose of infinite worth. And we have eternal value because we are saved to the praise of His glory, this eternal God. And it's not about us and our circumstances. It's about God and His infinite worth and His unfathomable grace towards us. So we give Him glory because He has saved us. Thirdly, God is worthy to receive glory because He is with us doing amazing things now, today. Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And Hebrews 13:21. May the God of peace, from verse 20, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There's transformation taking place in us, which brings glory to Him. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. God is worthy of praise because He is at work within the church to do greater things in us and through us and for us than we can ever even ask or imagine. That's exciting, to be a part of what God is doing now in us for His glory. Fourthly, we should ascribe glory to God because He will bring us safely to His heavenly kingdom. 2 Timothy 4:18. The Lord will rescue me, Paul says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. And what does Paul do? He says, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 5:10 and 11. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And we've read Jude 24 and 25. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. In other words, this awesome God is the one who ensures the eternal security of those who belong to Him by faith in Jesus Christ. So no matter what our present circumstances, and no matter what we may still go through, our God is graciously keeping us secure as heirs of His heavenly kingdom. And therefore, we continue giving Him glory now. We are safe forever in Him. Finally, we give glory to God because glory to God and to the Lamb is the climax of creation and the song of eternity. It never stops. It never even gets to its peak. Revelation 5 from verse 12. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. And Revelation 7 from verse 10. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Ultimately, there's no greater purpose, no greater fulfillment, no greater joy than being in the presence of God the Father and Jesus the Lamb, experiencing and celebrating the glory of God, the glory of the Father, the glory of the Lamb, the splendor of their infinite majesty forever and ever. So there's plenty of wonderful reasons to give glory to God, no matter what our circumstances. No matter where we are, give glory to God. So now, what are the elements of praise? In other words, what do we say when we give glory to God? And we've been reading it. What are the things that we ascribe to God and say that He is worthy to receive? So in the New Testament, every doxology has this element of be glory. Or be the glory. That's where that term doxology comes from. Doxa is the Greek word for glory. It is the quality of brightness, radiance, splendor, majesty, magnificence, preeminence, excellence, and renown. It is to have exceptional value and therefore to be wonderful and praiseworthy. So when the doxologies string together other adjectives and nouns with the word glory, it is really a matter of trying to express the fullness of what the glory of God implies, but it's beyond our expression. We just have to keep trying. And if we put all the New Testament doxologies together, we find that God is worthy to receive glory, majesty, power and authority, honor and might and praise and wisdom and thanks and strength. And of course, it's not just what you say. It's what you do. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are persons of such splendor and majesty and magnificence and excellence of being, attributes and works, that they are infinitely wonderful and worthy of unending praise and honor through our lips and through our lives. And so, every doxology ends with this indication that praise to God and to the Lamb should never end. We've said it over and over again, haven't we? It is to be forever and ever. Ephesians 3:20-21 says it is to be throughout all generations, forever and ever. Jude 24:25 says it is to continue before all ages, now and forevermore. There's no time in history when God should not have received glory or be receiving glory. There's no generation in history who should not give God glory. And when this world ends, he who sits on the throne and the Lamb will continue to receive glory for eternity from every angel of heaven and from all the redeemed forever and ever. So, all these great truths of God's attributes and works and his wonderful excellence and splendor demand a response. You can't just know these things. What can we say? What must we say to all this? Well, as the elders around the throne, they say, Amen, Amen, and Amen. These are not things to know and store away in a drawer somewhere, under a pile of other things. These things are things that should be coming out of us all the time as people who belong to Christ. These are things we ought to affirm as true with our whole being. These are things to which we should confirm our wholehearted agreement and devotion. These are things to live for, to die for. These are things to celebrate because God is our God and Father, and Jesus Christ is our Savior. These are things to tell the world and to tell our neighbors. Let me jump us back to the Old Testament and close by reading Psalm 96, the first 9 verses. Psalm 9, you might want to turn there. It's a bit of a response, basically, to this purpose, to God alone, the glory. Psalm 96, verse 1. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Let's pray. Oh God, we ought to tremble more than we do. We ought to tell the world fearlessly more than we do. We ought to tell our neighbors more than we do how glorious, worthy, and wonderful and majestic you are. All your attributes as the God of this universe, the Creator from eternity to eternity. Without change, always glorious, our Savior, the God who has made us secure, given us hope, the God whom we will worship and bow before for eternity, and in whom we find our worth and our purpose and our glory. Lord, may it never be about our glory. May it always be about your glory. Lord, we fall so far short of that. Forgive us. Help us, Lord, in everything we do, to do it for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.